question which you've asked, which is brought down in the Siva Shalom, Solomon already, source number one. The Sukkot Seishu Shivat Jamin, we dwell in Sukkot for 7 days, as the Pasuk tells us. L'man yedu daratechem ki b'sukkot ha-shafti b'nei Yisrael b'tzio sam eretz Yisrael ani Hashem alokechem. To recall the fact that God, the Jewish people, dwelled within Sukkot upon their exodus from Egypt. So we ask the following question. Yesh l'va'er, we need to be able to explain, madua nikba chag l'zecher ananei ha-kavod kimavua b'rashi. Why do we have a holiday which recollects the clouds of glory? As Rashi explains, it's not only based on the Gemara, not only the physical houses that we lived in, but really the clouds of glory that surround the Jewish people. V'lo al shar hanisim shenasu imahem ukidugmat haba'er v'haman, and not like other miracles that happened in the desert, like the well of Miriam and the man that was in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question, which is a famous question, is why is it, of the many miracles that happened to the Jewish people while in the desert, the clouds of glory that surrounded them, the miraculous water that walked with them, it was a walking well, it was so much water, the Medrash tells us, that they had to take a boat between one tribe and the other tribe. We're dealing with amounts of water which I don't think we even really comprehend, and the special man which was not only physical nourishment, it was spiritual nourishment as well. Why do we only focus on one of the three miracles, on the clouds of glory, and not on the other two? So the answer that is given is that we never recollect something that happened in the past only, but Judaism is something that's alive now, which means that we're not only remembering the exodus of Egypt that happened thousands of years ago, but we need to see ourselves as if we are leaving Egypt right now. We are receiving the Torah right now. It's not only the clouds of glory that surrounded the Jewish people while they were in the desert, but right now, there are clouds of glory surrounding us as well. The Sukkah is a manifestation and a representation of the clouds of glory, of the watching, of the Shemirah that God is involved with at this present moment. We take this abstract idea and we concretize it through building a Sukkah. This concept of the clouds of glory. What I'd like to suggest this evening is that in living in the Sukkah, we can see the clouds of glory. We can see the divine. We saw it then, and we can see it now. We saw it then, source number two, verse in Bamidbar, Yudalad, 14:14. They have heard that you, Hashem, are in the midst of this people, that you, Hashem, appeared eye to eye, and your cloud stands over them, and that in the pillar of cloud you go before them by day, and in a pillar of fire at night. Ki ayin ba'ayin nira Hashem. Eye to eye, you appear to the Jewish people. How? Through the cloud that stands over them, and the pillar of cloud that goes by them, both by day, and the pillar of fire at night. What I'd like to try to suggest this evening is that ayin ba'ayin, the eyes, they were able to perceive the divine then, these very eyes can see it now. The medium which I would like to suggest this evening to reach this level, and it will be a 3-step process, is the medium of the eye of the ayin. And I'd like to do it with three different understandings of our rabbis on the concept of ayin tova, of having a good eye. And if we understand what it is that our rabbis mean by having a good eye on three different levels, I think on each level we can take those eyes and see godliness in our sukkah. The concept of an ayin tova is found, or one of the places we'll be using this evening, in the second chapter of Pirkei Avos, source number 3. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his 5 chief students, "Go out and see which is the best trait a person should acquire." Rabbi Eliezer said, "A good eye in ayin tova." What does having a good eye mean? Approach number 1 is the approach of Rabbeinu Yonah, a very famous commentator on Pirkei Avos, who says in source 4, it's worked down in English in source 5, let's do it in English, "Perfection in the trait of generosity and pleasantness, which will help a person achieve excellence in other good, desirable character traits." In Ayin Tova, says Rabbi Eliezer, is the concept of nedivos lev, of generosity of the heart. Having a good eye means you're a generous person. It's interesting to note that the continuation of the Mishnah is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his students, "Now that you've told me what's the good way," and there are many things, haroah tanolah, to see the future, a lev tov, a good heart. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his students, "Okay, now I want you to go and tell me what's a way a person should move away from in this world. What's not a good character trait?" And responds Rabbi Eliezer by saying, "An ayin ra'ah, a bad eye. A good eye is something you should have. And something that you should not have is a bad eye." So says Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is brilliant. He says, "Well, okay, if an ayin tova means nedivos, means generosity, so should I then say that an ayin ra'ah means being stingy? Perhaps, if I'm not generous, but I'm not generous, I'm just a regular person, maybe that's not an ayin ra. Maybe we're not dealing with an opposite here. I understand that ayin tova means I'm generous, I give a lot. Does an ayin ra mean that I now am not generous, I don't give anything? It could be what? I'm not generous, but that doesn't mean I'm a stingy person. I'm just not a giving person. I'm not an overly gracious person." Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, you don't see it that way. If you're not going to be a giving person, so there's nothing called neutrality. If you're not going to be giving, you're going to land up being stingy. And he says, we're in source number 6, where the arrow is. Kach midat hakilut, what stinginess happens, goremet le'ish liyot bliyal b'midot hatavot, it might lead a person to really throwing off the yoke of good character traits and to be called a bliyal, someone without a yoke of God on them. And the classic example is the story of Nava, who was a very wealthy person, who David protected his sheep, King David, and before he was the king, and David asked him, "Can you please share with me on your sheep shearing party some food?" And he responded with absolute negative response. And he's called a Belial, he's called a person who does not fear God. If you're not going to be a giving person, then you're missing something tremendous in your life. Let's talk about this for a moment. What does it mean to be a giving person? So the Rambam defines chesed as either being one, we show kindness to those who have no claim whatever upon us, someone we have no relationship with, or two, giving to someone we have a relationship with, but giving them more than is due to them. Chesed, nedivus, graciousness, kindness means stepping outside of self and thinking of another person. If I don't know the person, giving to them, and if I know them, giving more than they deserve. And if you're not stepping outside of yourself and doing this, so then there's a real lack in self. I'll give you an example. An example of some of my students here, I've used with them before. An example which taught me what this concept of chesed, of nedivus lev, of kindness is about. When my daughter was born last year, so we got three types of phone calls right after her birth. Type number one was, whatever I can do for you, please let us know. I'm the type of person who is very self-sufficient. I'll never call this person back. Type number two was somebody who said, this is what I am going to do for you. I will set up a list of people to cook meals for you for a week. People who helped out. Then there's the third type. This type didn't call, came over. And there's one, or really two people in particular, who came over right after I came back from the hospital with hot soup and a cake. And then on Friday came and brought food for Shabbos. And then the next Friday came and brought a warm challah for Shabbos. And the next Friday came and made a salad for Shabbos. Didn't call, didn't ask, just came over and said, I know you could always use some extra food in the house, and gave food. That's medieval slave. That's kindness. That's going beyond the self and thinking, how can I give to another person? So often, when we do a kindness, we do it for personal motives as well. We feel good. What do we get out of it? A real kindness means stepping out of self and giving to another person. The Nesivos Shalom has a great vort from the Baal Shem Tov, where he says in source number 10 on the Pasuk, Avanochi Omeid Ben Hashem Uveinechem, where Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that I am standing, literally means I am standing between you and God. So it literally means the Anochi, is standing. In this case, it's obviously in context referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Baal Shem Tov on a beautiful Hasidic level, Ha'anochiyut, whom he mechitza ha'mafseket ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yehudi, shemechamata eino ro'et Hashem Yitbarach. You know what stands between us and God? Anochi, the I. The self. It's the I that blocks us from seeing God. It's the I that says, well, what am I going to get out of it? To go beyond the I is a concept of chesed. It's a concept of nedivus, of this graciousness of giving to others. Not what will I get from it, but rather, let me look at it from the vantage point of someone else. What could they gain? What are they missing that I can fill? On this level, Sukkot is a time of medieval slave of generosity. Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov in Sefer Toda'ah points out in source number 11, every person as if says to God, now that you've blessed me with the whole harvest season, And I am grateful for all the kindnesses that you have given to me. I would like to share this joy with others. How do you share this joy with others? So he says very quite simply with the arrows in 11. The Ketsan Misamcham, how do you allow them to rejoice? Cholek mi birchato im ha'aniim. You invite other people to your suda, to your feast, to your meal, and you share that which you have. Sukkot is a time to share your bounty with others. It's a time of the diva slave. It's a time of generosity of the heart. And the Sefer Tada'a goes on one step further. And he says, and it's great, he says, we mentioned in last year about the Yushpizim, Yilayim, these holy guests. He says, if you would imagine for a moment, that Avraham Avinu was really going to partake of your meal. He's always coming. But he's not just going to sit down and have the gefilte fish and the soup and the kugel. He's not just going to partake. Ah, do you know what type of meal you would make? Ah, what a meal you would make. Amazing meal you would make. Says Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov, now take those beautiful meal that you've now conjured up in your mind and serve that to an ani, to a poor person. That's what I want from you. With that same overflowing generosity and that same loyalty that you would serve to these who shpizi, this is what I'd like you to serve to my guests, the anim, the poor people, the people who need it. And he brings down just parenthetically, which is, I think, very interesting. He says, there is a custom among some people to have seven guests at every meal, one representing each one of the Yushpizit. So something nice to think about. On this level, how do you see God? As brought down in the Medrash in Source 13, the halachta, the drachah of walking in God's ways, that God is a person of kindness. We emulate Him in Metat Yodea. We are involved in kindness. Level number one of seeing God is to inviting guests. To be involved in an ayin tova, a good eye of nedivus, of generosity. And we see those who are beloved and special to God. By being involved in this act of chesed on sukkah, of appreciating all the kindness that God has given me and sharing it with others, that is the first way of apprehending the divine, of walking in God's ways. The first level of ayin tova, of a good eye. The second definition of a good eye, and we're going to be going deeper on each level, is the Rambam's definition, Maimonides. Where he says in Source 14, what is a good eye? It means satisfaction with one's possessions is the best of all qualities. Rabbi Bunim in Ethics from Sinai develops this. He says, an evil eye implies envy, jealousy, constant discontent. What I have is never enough, and what the other has is always too much. What is an ayin tova? It's appreciating that which you have. Being satisfied, being sameach b'chalkenu, satisfied with our lot. And here, and it's really a development of the theme that we've been developing this evening, again, Rav Dessler, Michtam Eliyahu, in the second chelik says, he says, kol ma sha'anu maschinim ba'olameinu kimitziyut, all that which we have in our world, Barur shu kli shenitan lanu avur avodaso yispara, is given to us as a kli, as a vessel, as a vehicle of serving God. The rak lazeh nivra, and that's why it was created. Just to add on a personal note, I remember I was teaching this concept to fourth graders many, many years ago. Believe it or not, I taught fourth grade. It happens to the best of us. So I was teaching this concept that everything that we have is a gift from God, and all that is given to us is meant for us to use in who we are in our lives. So a young girl in the class came back to me during Hanukkah time, and she told me the following story. She told me that when she got a Hanukkah gift, she was opening up the wrapper very slowly. And her mom asked her, she says, "Everything okay that you're having such a difficult time opening the wrapper?" She says, "You don't understand. We learned, Mrs. Smiles, that everything we get in life is a gift to be used for God. So I want to appreciate every moment of this gift so that I can really internalize that whatever I'm about to get as a present inside this box, I can really utilize as my avodas Hashem, as my service of God." How the Bible, we should think like fourth graders sometimes. He continues where the arrow is, the asterisk is, all the attributes that we get from heaven, they're not only to fulfill our physical desires, really not to fulfill our physical desires at all, Ela avodas Hashem, to serve God. V'gzeilat kli avoda mevia l'miniat hashefa. And if we're not going to use them properly, so that's how we are going to lose this abundant kindness from God. And that's why it's a very famous medrash that before a child is born, the malach asks, what will be of this person? Are they going to be strong or weak, wise or not so wise, rich or poor, but not whether it will be a tzaddik or a rasha. What's going on in this medrash? Very simply, that before we're born, we are given all of the tools that are needed for us to develop in our lives. What's left for us to do is to utilize them to be a tzaddik, a righteous person, and not a wicked person. Which means that basically my IQ has been established over 30 years ago. How I'm going to use that is my choice. So much of what we have in life is not up to us. Speak about free choice and everything's open. Very little free choice, a large of respect. A lot of things are given to us. The question becomes, how do we use them? Do we utilize them for God or not? Being sameach b'chalkech, being happy with one's portion, means that I am happy with that which God gave me, because that which God gave me allows me to be me. And as we just spoke about an hour ago, so I'm not going to dwell too much on this theme, the fact that I have what I have means that this is what I need in the service of God. And if I don't have this, that must mean that right now, this is not what I need for my service with Him. This is not what I need for my service with Him. And Ayin Tova is this appreciation. Probably the most classic example of understanding being satisfied with one's possessions or not satisfied with one's possession is the difference between the way Esau and the way Yaakov speak. We have this meeting between the two brothers, and Yaakov Avinu wants to give gifts to Esau, and he refuses to take them. Moving on to source number 19 on the next page, comes from Rabbi Tatz's book, World Mask, based on the Medrash. When Esau comes to meet Yaakov in the middle, he initially rejects Yaakov's gift, proclaiming his wealth, which underlined very heavily. He says, "I have much. Yeshli Rav. His wealth lies in sheer volume and mass of his possession. I have much, but I could use more." Yaakov, on the other hand, 20, meets his brother's declaration of wealth, Yeshli Kol, for I have everything. Spiritual values live on a plane above mass in value. I have everything. Completeness is not possible in the realm of the physical. But above the realm, it becomes natural. In the physical realm, I have much, but I could always use more. I might have 30 dresses, but I wouldn't mind 35. Who wouldn't mind 5 more dresses? Who wouldn't mind more physical possessions? But in the spiritual, yeshli kol, I have that which I need in my service of God. It's a sense of kol, of completeness, a sense of simcha. This is Sukkos. This is Sukkos. 21, sanctuaries in time. Again, Rav Dessler. A Sukkah is essentially a temporary residence. It visually reminds us that the whole of this world is nothing but a temporary abode. All material pleasures and successes are transient, and our dreams of establishing ourselves an unassailable position in this world are nothing but fantasy. 23, all these symbols flow together. Sukha deflates the importance of material affluence and so-called economic security in this world. This is quote-unquote the Sukha principle. So long as people ignore this and make material success the be-all and end-all of existence, there can be no peace in the world. In such a society, people covet each other's possessions, and the very fact that one person has something makes the other feel that he has less. The Sukha principle, if internalized with the Aruyas, turns people towards spiritual goals. When the members of a society strive together for the things of the spirit, the success of one benefits all, envy and hatred are banished, and peace reigns supreme. And that's why Aaron HaKohen is the one that's so connected with the Ananei HaKavod, with the clouds of glory, with the concept of peace. On this level, when we walk into the Sukha and we leave our homes and we walk into this transient abode, we're making a statement of saying that what we recognize is important is the spiritual value and not the physical value in life. It's a very important statement. On this level, when we walk into the Sukha, we're able to apprehend the divine because we're able to see in life that which I have is a gift from God and it is to be utilized for God. Walking into the Sukkah is a reminder to me what is really important in my life. What is it that I should be focusing in on? Is it to gather more and more physical possessions and not to be utilizing them for my spiritual purpose in this world? Or does the Sukkah, leaving my fancy home and my security of my home, remind us that what really counts in life? Living in earthquake country here, I think we have a deeper understanding of this. What really counts in life is the spiritual value that we apply to life. And on a deeper level, this is the Ayin Tova. On the second level of the Rambam, it means having a good eye, means being satisfied with what one has. You walk into the Sukkah and you have this feeling of being surrounded by God and saying that He has blessed me with all that I need right now in order to be a servant of God. That's the second level of Ayin Tova. And then there's a third level of Ayin Tova, a good eye. The first level is generosity. The second level is being satisfied with what one has. The third level, a much deeper level, is based on the Rashi. Three, we've shown it, we did Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rambam, this is Rashi. On the Mishnah in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos, it's found in source 26. Whoever possesses these three qualities is among the disciples of our father Abraham, and three other qualities distinguish the disciples of the wicked Bilam. What is the first distinguishable quality of Avraham Avinu? In Ayin Tova, a good eye. What is a good eye? So again, Rashi, a commentator, explains She'ein lo kin'ah al chaveiro. He has no jealousy for his friend, very similar to what we just saw, but goes deeper. V'chaviv alav kivod chaveiro kichvodo. The honor of his friend is as beloved to him as his own honor. Ayin Tova, good eye, means that I show honor to my friends as I honor myself. What does honor mean? So very briefly, I'd like to go through a beautiful piece from Rav Wolbe and Ale Shur. And in this piece, he connects the students of Rabbi Akiva who died. And as we know, they died because shelo nahagu kavod ze lazeh, they did not show honor one to another. Another version in the Medrash of what the problem of these students was, brought down 27, she'einehem sara elu le'elu. They had saras ayin. They didn't have this ayin tova. They didn't have this good eye. So we see the good eye and honor really work hand in hand. So says Rav Wolbe and Ali Shur the following. He brings down a statement from the Talmud in Kiddushin, source 28. And he says, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis have taught, Ha'ochal b'shuk, one who eats in the marketplace. And he's talking about is somebody who's going to walk, you know, go to Nagila Pizza, take out a slice of pizza, and then start walking down the street eating the pizza. Got the concept? Ha'ochal b'shuk, ha'rei zeh domeh l'kelav. Really resembles a dog. Take, you know, bone in its mouth and start, you know, walking through the street. V'yesh omrim pasul le'edos. And some people say that they can't be witnesses. She explains, u'pasul le'edos, he's disqualified as a witness, d'kevan she'eino min ha'yishuv, ein makpid al atzmo ve'ein lo boshe panim. Such a person doesn't have hakbada on himself. He's not careful enough about himself. And he has no busha, he has no shame to walk through the streets eating. So ask Rav Wolbe the following in 29. Let's follow closely. He says, Yitachin she'anu mitkashim maha busha ve'zulzul bazeh she'ochlim u'mevarchim b'shuk ad kidei kach she'zeh chashud gam al eidut sheker harei ma'chalo kasher v'gam mevarach kidabai u'maha ra'shafa. Ask Rav Wolbe the following. Are we being a little bit harsh? Let's say the food is 1,000% kosher. Not only 100%, it's 1,000% kosher. And you said a bracha, and you said a blessing with the greatest amount of intent. So you're doing everything great. So, okay, I'm walking through the street eating. But what did I do wrong? I said the proper blessing. The food is kosher. Just because I'm walking through the street eating, that should mean I'm puzzle angels. That should mean that I'm disqualified for being a witness. Give me a break. It seems a little bit harsh. Ah, says Rav Wolbe. You're right. Third line. Ein kan ra mamash. It's nothing really so bad. Something worse. Rak chesron shel adinut ha-nefesh. You're lacking a certain sensitivity. And he says, this is what kavod is all about. Where the arrow is in 29, kavod hi hanagah chitzonit ha-mechuyevet ma-metziut shel kedusha pnimit u-matimala. If you feel holy inside, so then your actions are going to reflect that inner reality. The fact that a person is behaving in such a manner must be a reflection of the way they value and see self. What should a person view? How should a person view themselves? So he says in source 30, a person should realize shemekanein b'kirbo tselem elokim kadosh. Do we recognize that we have a holy we are created in the image of God? Shabarei nafach ba'po nishmat chayim v'chokhmat lev v'tov asechel. And God imbued within us a tremendous amount of spirituality, of divine elements within us. We have a chelek eloka mimav. We have this greatness within us. Acting with kavod means a recognition. Acting with honor means a recognition that I see myself as someone who is created in the image of God. And if I'm created in the image of God, it's not fitting for me to be walking around eating this way. Because that's not someone who has a chelek elokim mimal, who has a divine image within them. That's not the way they behave. And if a person really feels this kavod, this sense of dignity and honor within them, so they'll see it within other people. And if you're not going to show it to other people, like in the students of Rabbi Akiva, that's really a reflection that you don't see it in yourself. Ayin Tova, a good eye on this level, means you have the ability to see kavod, to act in an honorable way, which means on the deepest level to see yourself and others as being formed in a divine image. Now, if you're able to see this, then, my friends, you're able to see sukkah and godliness on the highest of levels. Let's conclude and then we'll wrap up. We'll summarize. Let's conclude with the Shemi Shmuel. The Shemi Shmuel in verse 35 says the following. V'nirei l'fareish dinei b'kara kemach, yikot z'kara kemach, Shesukkah mevi'a lidei ruach hakodesh. Sukkah can bring a person to a level of divine inspiration. We know Yonah the prophet, got his inspiration on Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkah. Why? Shesukkah hi melashon ri'iya, the name Sukkah is really connected with the concept of seeing. Ukimo shesara shenikret yiska, another name of Sarimenu was yiska. Shakol sochim b'yofia, everyone was, she was surrounded by her beauty, but other people say sochim b'ruach hakodesh, she had the ability to have visions of ruach hakodesh, of divine inspiration. So he says, v'yish l'tein tam, lama mitzvah zu mesugel ruach hakodesh yoter mishar mitzvah. What's special about sukkah that brings us to a level of ruach hakodesh, of divine inspiration? Why don't we say that about matzah? I eat matzah and I'll get ruach hakodesh. What is it about sukkah? Just because the name sukkah has a concept of seeing, must be deeper than that. So he says, ki b'emet adam, in reality with the asterisk, is a person, sheyesh bo nishama kedosha chelek elokam imam, a person, every individual who has this special holiness from God. Le'olam hayat tarich lishamesh b'ruach hakodesh. We should all have divine inspiration. Why? Because we are chelek elokam imam. We all have this within us. What happens? We sin. We also live in a world where the environment is so filled with gashmis, we're so filled with oppressive physicality, that there is no room for the spiritual. However, he continues in 36, the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, was a place which was really above this worldly, above this timely. We know a lot of miracles that happened in the temple. The temple was a place, since it's really removed from the physical, it was a place of the spiritual that you could indeed get Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. It says, and this is the Kuntur in 37, the Shem Shmuel, V'inei sukkah ita besvarim shehi dugmas beis hamikdash. Our sukkah on many levels is parallel to the temple. V'im kein, moving to the end, I'm leaving out the Kabbalistic implications, the names of God and how they're connected. V'im kein ha'avyushala, the atmosphere in the sukkah, Einenu miksham kolkach, is not so full of this physicality. V'im kein mitzvah zu mesugelet l'ruach hakodesh. So therefore, this mitzvah is appropriate to allow us to reach these levels of divine inspiration. Ke'en hamigdash shemisham shovim ruach hakodesh, very much parallel to the Beis Hamikdash where we got divine inspiration. And this level, if a person understands an ayin tova, a good eye, as the ability of kavod, ability of honor, which means to see our chelek elokam imal, the godliness within us. So if we're able to see the godliness within us, if we're able to really appreciate the godliness within us, so then when we walk into the sukkah, then we're able to see within the sukkah a world that is not so full of the physical world, because our eyes are not focused only on the physical, our eyes are focused on the spiritual. We're able to discern the spiritual within us, we're able to discern the spiritual within our friends. So thereby we're able to discern the spiritual in our sukkah, which is dome, which is parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. And on such a level, a person has the ability in theory to reach a level of Ruach HaKodesh, to reach a level of really connecting oneself to the Divine. Our original question, why is this, of the three miracles, the one we focus in on, between the Be'er, the well, the man, the special food, and the Adonai HaKavod, and the clouds of glory? The answer is because the clouds of glory are with us at all times. They never left us. The Be'er, the well, the man that left us, the Adonai HaKavod have never left us. They're always with us. Sukkah is a chance to see the Adonai HaKavod. It's able to chance to see, apprehend on a certain level, the Divine. Three levels. First level of Ayin Tova, of Nedivus, of generosity, by following Matatio Deo in God's ways, of giving to others, making our sukkah a home for hospitality, the Ushpizin as the model, the special guest. Level number two of the Rambam, being satisfied with one's possessions, the sukkah makes us realize that what counts in life is the spiritual, not the physical, And finally, Rashi, the Ayin Tova, is kavod, is honor of seeing the chelik elukah mimal, the godliness within us. And as the Shem Shmuel points out, that being able to see that, one is able to look at the sukkah as a place of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration, a place where God resides.